This is Brother Gino Cassieri, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. We're going to continue today, and we've been doing a study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that stand out that we want to look at and spend a little bit of time on. If you haven't already, I hope that the listeners, if they haven't already, would visit my website. My website is allthecounselofgod.com. That's allthecounselofgod.com. There's a lot of good Bible lessons and study on the website. Amen. And I hope it would be a blessing to you. Alrighty, so let's go to the book of Psalms. Last time we started in Psalms, and I want us to look at Psalm number 69, verses 8 and 9. And the Word of God says this: I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproacheth thee have fallen upon me. Now, what we have in these verses are a reference to Jesus' literal brothers and sisters. Let's turn, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark with me. Mark chapter number 6. And in Mark number 6, let's look at verse number 3. Notice what the Word of God says here in Mark 6, verse number 3. The Word of God says this: Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So we clearly see that Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. Amen. Now let's turn our attention to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. There's 20 verses in this psalm, but what I want us to see here is the whole chapter of Psalm 72 is on the glorious millennial kingdom of Christ, which is made clear in the first verse by directing it to the King's Son. Notice, Psalm 72, verse 1. Give the King thy judgments, O God, in thy righteousness unto the King's Son. Amen. All right, let's look at verses Psalm 75. And in Psalm 75, let's look at verses 6 and 7. The Word of God has this to say: For the promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Here we want to see in these verses. So it is God that we want to see. It is God that we find in the north, and not Santa Claus. Amen. All righty, we're going to look at Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 78, verse 2. The Word of God says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Amen. So what do we want to see about this verse? The occurrence of the word parable is most instructive because it implies that the events of the chapter, Israel's history from Moses to David, match something else. Parable, parallel, etc. The something else is the 1,260 days of Revelation 12, verse 6, when Israel is miraculously preserved by God in the Great Tribulation. The Egyptians' plagues picture the last plagues of Revelation chapter 16. Pharaoh pictures the Antichrist. And Israel is cared for by Jehovah, just as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. Again, in Psalm 78, verse 25, Psalm 78, verse 25, man did eat angels' food. He sent them a meal to the foe. And from here, hence, we get angel food cake. Amen. Now, Psalm 85. Psalm number 85 and verse number 6, we read this. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And what I want us to see here is this is where we get that great hymn of the faith, Revive Us Again, gets its name. Amen. Looking in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse number 2. We read this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We are told to forget not all his benefits. And because that's just what we, you and I, are prone to do. Amen. We see examples of this in the scriptures with the nation of Israel. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Judges. We go to Judges, chapter number 3, and verse number 7. We read this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here it is. And forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Look with me also in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12 with me in verse number 9. The word of God has this to say. And when they, here it is, they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab's, and they fought against them. Look in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 with me in verse number 11. In Psalm 78, verse number 11, the word of God has this to say. In reference to Israel, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shewed them. And then finally, we want to look in the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, in chapter number 2, in verse number 13, the word of God has this to say, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and here it is, and forget me, saith the Lord. So we're told to forget not all God's benefits, because this is what you and I are prone to do. And we saw a great example of that, amen, with the nation of Israel. Now we want to turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. In verse number 1, Psalm 10, verse number 1, the word of God has this to say. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This whole psalm is messianic, with verse 1 being quoted or referenced 6 times in the New Testament. Let me give you the New Testament references. First is Matthew 22, verse 44. Matthew 22, 44. Mark chapter 12, verse 36, Mark 12:36, Luke chapter 20, verse 42, Luke 20:42, Acts chapter 2, verses 33 to 35, Acts 2:33 to 35, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, Hebrews 1:13, and then Hebrews 10:12 to 3, Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. Now, let's look at Psalm 11. Psalm 11 with me. And we go to Psalm 11. Let's look at verse 9. It says here, He sent redemption unto His people. He commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The Word of God tells us there's only one that is reverend. Amen. A lot of times, so-called clergy, amen, go by the title reverend. But we see here clearly that there is only one reverend, and that's Almighty God, amen. Now let's turn to Psalm 116, verse 15. We read this, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen. Now, you and I, we mourn over the passing of our loved ones. But God counts the death of a saint to be precious. Amen. And so we can take comfort in that. When one of our loved ones who is saved, who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, is trusting in His shed blood and nothing else to pay for all of his sins, and to secure him a home in heaven, that his death or her death is precious in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 176. The whole chapter here deals with the importance of the Word of God, with such terms as statutes, judgments, law, testimony, and precepts. Amen. In fact, I have a study that I did on just Psalm 119. Amen. If you're interested in that, if you drop me a line at the address at the end of the broadcast, I'd be more than happy to send that study out to you on Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 122. Psalm 122 with me. In verse number 1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Something, my dear friends, is bad. Amen. Something is bad, wrong, when a saint dreads attending worship service. Is it not? Amen. Look at Psalm 122 in verse 6. It says, Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So we see here, what stands out is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, is to pray for the second coming of Christ, because Jerusalem will have no lasting peace until He returns. So all of the politicians and all of the leaders of the world trying to bring peace to the Middle East between the Jews and the Arabs, it's not going to happen until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Amen. Look at Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. It says, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, these verses have been twisted out of their context by far too many preachers. The typical application is as follows. Reverend, the Bible doesn't say that you'll reap if you sow. That's because sowing isn't enough. The missing ingredient is the tears of God's people, the promises that you will reap if you sow in tears. Amen? The problem is not that we have a lack of sowers. The problem is that we have too many dry eyes in our churches. No, the problem is that we have many novice copycat preachers in our pulpits. The passage deals with the Jews, acknowledging that their long captivity in Babylon was one of hardship, sorrow, and tears. However, by not losing faith in God's promises, they were experiencing the joy of returning home. The many years of tears had ended in joy. The passage is not making tears a requirement for reaping. It is merely stating that God's people do not have to endure hardship forever because better times are coming. Good spiritual preaching can be taken from the passage. Sow the seed, and you will reap in due season. But changing the unfortunate conditions of some, grief, sorrow, and tears, into requirement for all is not good spiritual preaching. There's certainly nothing wrong with weeping for lost souls and wayward saints if it's genuine. But to teach that God requires such from all Christians is utter nonsense. This accounts to reckless, emotional, overzealous, pulpiteering, and not sound Bible teaching and preaching. Let's move on to Psalm 127, verse 1. The Word of God has this to say, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain." This is a great memory verse, dear listener. It can also make for some great preaching. Except the Lord build your house, the schoolhouse, the church house, the House of Representatives, the White House, and we could go on and on and on. Benjamin Franklin referenced this verse in his appeal to President Washington for a National Day of Prayer. And then again in Psalm 127, in verses 3 to 5, we read this. "Lo, the children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So here we are told, children are not a burden or a disease. No, they're precious. They are an inheritance of the Lord. Amen and amen to that. Psalm 133, as we continue to look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, in Psalm 133, in verse number 1, we read this, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So here we're told what stands about this verse is it is the duty of brethren to dwell together in unity, not the United Nations or apostate churches. Amen. Psalm 138, verse 2, the Word of God says this, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Amen. What stands out about this verse, dear listener? This verse is a real jewel because it gives the reader some definite insight about the importance of the Word of God. The verse states that the Word of God is above the name of God, which should be no surprise to anyone who has read Matthew 7, and we're going to turn to Matthew 7 right now. Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew 7 in verses 22 to 23. Notice what the Word of God has to say. It says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, places God's name above all blessing and praise. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9 with me. In Nehemiah chapter 9, in verse number 5, we read this in the Word of God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabani, Sherebiah, Hoja, Shebaniah, and Petaliah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. So the order of importance is follows. First, God's word. Second, God's name. Thirdly, all blessing and praise. Those who ignore this order are destined for apostasy. Amen. Okay, let's move on as we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and we're in the book of Psalms. Let's turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And notice what it says in verses 7 to 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. These verses here, is a great passage of the omnipresence of God, that he is all present, that he is everywhere, amen? Anywhere and everywhere, amen? Again, we're in Psalm 139. And look at verses 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. What we want to see here is this. This passage makes it pretty clear that an unborn child is a human life and not merely a fetus. Amen. And then in Psalm 139, we're still there, in verse 23 and 24, the Word of God says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a fine place to go for a spiritual checkup. In light of what Jesus said in Mark 7, verses 20 to 23, we should subject ourselves to frequent checkups. Let's see what Jesus said with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, we want to look at verses 20 to 23. Word of God has this to say. And he said, that which cometh out of a man that defileth a man, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we need to have frequent checkups of ourselves, do we not? Now let's look at Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 15, we read this. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What stands out about this verse is, so Muslims, atheists, Roman Catholics, Buddhists, and pagans are not happy people. Just talk to them and see. They are unhappy. Why? Because their gods are not the Lord. Psalm 149 with me. Psalm 149. And we want to look at verse number 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So we see, in addition to being in our hearts, the sword of God's word should also be in our hands, but not if the high praises of God are not in our mouths. Amen. And then the last psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, the word of God says, praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbal. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This is a great memory psalm on the importance of praise. Although the Campbellites, a Church of Christ, might disagree, since they have a problem with musical instruments in worship. Amen. Now we look at notable verses we've concluded in the book of Psalm. We move on to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. In chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, in verses 24 to 33, we read this, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mark when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. In this passage, what we want to see is there is no point. There is a point, in other words, or no return for the wicked. Well, that's all the time we have. I pray you join me next time as we continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.